Good to see you all. Tonight, I was just going to pick up in Romans chapter 1. We looked at last week Paul's longing to be with the church in Rome for the fellowship that he would enjoy to be there. And just what an example it is for us is we long to be with each other. We share that same passion to do that. So I was going to start now. I was just going to continue on in chapter 1 and go from verse 18 to 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. And it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." So here, we're going to look at a little bit about God's wrath against sinful humanity. And the rest of the verses in that chapter really show us how much man has fallen away from God since the fall of man. But we'll get into that whenever the next, I'll just continue on. But the wrath of God, that is something that is very important, because again, you really want to value salvation, you have to understand God's wrath. And you have to understand who God is. And you have to understand how bad sin is and what it does to us, not only here, but for eternity. And that's what Paul's going to start doing. He's going to start revealing that all have sinned. And in Romans 6:3, Paul states that the wages of sin is death. And so Paul's setting the stage by showing that all have sinned and they need the righteousness that only God can provide. So there's no other way to get salvation. It's only through the righteousness that God has provided through Jesus Christ. But God's wrath is not an irrational burst of anger, just as we have. It's a holy and just revulsion against what is contrary to his holy nature. It is holy anger against all that is not pure and perfect. And that's what God is. If it's not pure and it's not perfect, it can't be in his sight. It can't be around him. With God being that light, he is all light. There is no darkness. And so there is no shadow around him where anything can hide. God is pure, and his wrath is righteous, and it's also absolute, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, but it's absolute, and it depends where you're at on that day of judgment. So also it says that that his wrath is being revealed from heaven. And there is a continuous revelation of the wrath of God in both the Old and the New Testaments. It's still being revealed in our world today, and this is God's constant and insistent displeasure with evil. God is merciful, but it's not because he's become lenient with our sins. It's because Jesus Christ died for our sins. God loves us, and he's patient and long-suffering. But again, he's not lenient with sins. He's just provided a way for us. And that way is the gospel. The gospel has made it possible for God to accept sinners. Man must have either the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ or the wrath of God outside of Christ. And God's wrath is not limited to the end time judgment of the wicked. But we see, and even as you go into other letters that Paul has written, you see that the wrath of God is his abandonment to the wicked. There he will let the wicked live in their sins and believe in their sins and think that they're doing whatever they feel is right. They're doing whatever they feel. And that will come up in verses 24 through 32. We'll look at that a little more. And then it says, against all godlessness. Godlessness is that which is against God, everything that's against God. It is that which denies the character of God. There are multitudes of people who disregard the very existence of God. And unfortunately, again, I think God just lets them go ahead and live your life. You know, and so that's a very sad state for people to be in. And that's just complete sin against God. That's just sin against God. And then the wickedness of people, this is the opposite of God's nature. This is us. This is man with our corrupt hearts. They have evil practices and an evil disposition. And they are people that are dishonest. And some examples that I have are a person may be dishonest in his business dealings with others, trying to take advantage of other people. And also with a person who drinks some alcohol or does some drugs and then gets behind the wheel of a vehicle and drives and then gets in an accident and hurts somebody. That's man's wicked nature. He's disobeying. There are laws against that stuff, but doesn't care. And so these cause injury and suffering to people for that. And then also it reveals those who suppress the truth, those who hold the truth about God for their wicked gains. Again, an example of that is people who distort the truth about God being the creator of all that is. Again, we'll be looking at this a little bit later in this chapter, but again, it's like the theory of evolution. Things like that. Man will come up with theories and different ideas and take God out of the picture. No, there wasn't a God. This is what it was. And so again, they're suppressing the truth. They know the truth, but they're just suppressing it to get their gains to go forward. And then in verse 20, it says God's invisible qualities. And that was, how do we see the invisible? And I'd like to read, I think obviously the Bible proves itself over and over, but I wanted to read Psalm 104. I think that really describes his invisible qualities with the creation. And so Psalm 104 says, praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. And this is now where he's going to go into like the first day of creation, verses 3 through 5 and then 6 through 8 are the second day of creation. But he stretches out the heavens like a tent, and he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds in his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment, and the water stood above the mountains. Then he's going to get into the third day. It says, but as you rebuked the waters, they fled at the sound of your thunder. They took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the places that you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. And then verses 10 through 13 are the third and sixth day of creation. It says, he makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers, and the land is satisfied by the fruits of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens humans' hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nest, and the stork has its home in the junipers. And then we're going to get into day four. It says, the high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon and marked the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night. All the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out into their work, to their labors until evening. And then we'll get into the fifth day now. It says, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number. Living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to the frolic there. And then day six says, all creatures look to you to give them food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you knew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. So here's just one example of those invisible qualities. When you look at creation, when you just look at nature, you see that. That's my wife was telling me in science, they call that the Goldilocks effect, that everything has to be just right for us to be able to survive. Has to be just right. And that's what we were talking about, the sun. The sun is constantly going through explosions. They're extremely hot, extremely powerful, but yet the sun isn't getting any smaller. The sun is not getting any hotter. The sun is constant. And how is that? It's because that's how God designed it. That's the design of God. And just as the psalmist is saying, if we start to look at all these different things just through creation, you just look at them. How are the animals surviving? How do we have all these different species? We see that there is no excuse. When you really start to dig into something, you see that there is no excuse. And so what that's pointing to is that no one, not even anyone that has not heard of the Bible or of Jesus Christ, has an excuse for not honoring God. Just because of the creation of the world, just everything that he's created, it reveals him. It reveals God through creation. And so again, people are without excuse. We can make excuses, but when it comes before God, there is no excuse. And then we have his eternal power and divine nature. Creation reveals the unchanging power and existence of God. His power is in everything that he's created. So again, we see this, and God's power isn't just a burst or a blast or anything like that. It's saying it's eternal. It's eternal. And so that's his power. And I think as Christians, we find hope because we know that his love for us is eternal. And so again, that's just, we need to find ourselves in Christ. And then we have, so that the people are without excuse. Again, the creation just in itself leaves you without excuse. I didn't research that, but Darwin even said, just if you took the human eye and you studied it and you looked at it, you could tell this wasn't something that evolved. There had to be a design behind it. And when you look at it, you know, it sends message to your brain upside down, and it's amazing how it works. And that's what he said. It could not evolve. There has to be a designer. There has to be a creator. And so, just with creation alone, we see that man is without excuse. There is a God. And I think as we get into the verses following this, we'll see what we've done to take God out of the picture. And it's not a very good thing to do. So that's the message tonight. The next one, I just felt the cutoff here because then we start getting into the sins. And I did not want to kind of get into that and stop. But this evening, if there's anybody that maybe has not heard of the gospel, hasn't heard the good news that Jesus died, was resurrected, and he lives today. If you haven't come to him through baptism, it's our prayer that you will come tonight, that you will come and at least let us share the gospel, the good news with you. And or you might have other prayer requests. There might be something in your life that you're struggling with or anything like that. I ask you, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.